This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues, and as the holidays approach, we're answering questions. Today, we have 10 juicy questions submitted by everyone in the pit. Dark Seeker went through all of these and is presenting us today with the first 10. We're going to have another episode with another 10, but these are the first 10. Are you ready, Pace Case?
Yes. Can't wait.
Here we go. Here's the first one.
Hello, Pace Case and Clues. This is a request, a plea, a please bring back an oldie but goodie. Pace Case, in the early days of the pod, when Clues would state his creature of the week, or even if a creature was mentioned that happened to be your creature of the week, there would be this little pause, and then we would hear, this dog trotting down, or whatever. Or the creature might be a horse, and then a pause. This horse. Oh, I miss it. I miss the intro to the creature with this creature. Bring it back to us, Pace Case. Bring it home. By the way, this is Stacy from the Central Coast of California.
I remember this. I remember when you used to do that. Do you remember it?
This dog. I can't believe we lost it. Thank you, Stacy, for bringing us back to our roots. I love that you also signed it off like the end of like a self-tape. And this is Stacy from the Central Coast.
You know, that is what people do when they ask questions on Necessary Conversation. They always say where they're from. So maybe there's some bleed over happening here. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. We got a little conspiracy town.
Listen, I from time to time, we'll think about how the podcast used to be when we first started it. And if you have any interest in finding that out, the back catalog is on our Patreon at patreon.com/GameOfRoses. We used to have Pace Case going, "This dog was also my," or whatever.
I'm going to bring it back.
Yeah.
Just remind me again right before we do another game.
Okay. On January 22nd, on Grazia Days, night one, I will remind you to do a proper creature of the week.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Stacey, thank you for this. I feel like it's great to start with a little throwback. Not really, more of a comment than a question, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, this is a loose Q&A format. Ready to change lives.
Changing lives, bringing back your creature preamble. Do we have any other things in our past that you would bring back?
I guess we should just open our mailbag episodes to be, what did we used to do that we don't do anymore that you miss? Yeah.
Does anybody out there miss the wall-to-wall music that I used to compose and put on? Because now with AI, I could do that in a flash. I could do that in a snap of fingers.
The core 30 out yeah. there, really.
Oh, like, my God.
Oh, we missed the beats.
Do you remember fucking that when we did that? We watched Labor of Love, which was a reality show on Fox starring Christy Katzman, who was a player in, I believe, Brad Womack's first season. She was the main person, the main star, the lead of this show called Labor of Love that was a reality show on Fox. It was a game, dating game of attrition, just like Bachelor, but it was about, she was 40 at the time, had her eggs frozen, I believe, and was looking for someone to sire a child with. That was the whole premise of the mm-hmm. show. It was hosted by, God, what is her name? Charlotte from Sex and the City. I forget the actress's name. She was the host. And it was terrible. And we watched it live. Pace Case and I would go on Instagram Live while we watched it. And there were about 20 people who did that with us. We called them the core 20. We cannot thank you enough
yes.
for being a part of the core 20. All right. Are you ready, Pace Case, for question, in quotes, question number two, whatever this may be?
Yes, whatever right. it is.
Here we go. Here's question or statement number two.
Hello, Pace Case and Bachelor Clues. I'm Isabel, and I'm calling from deep in the pit with a question. Clues, you've said before that you can tell what archetype someone would fit into on The Bachelor within the first 10 to 15 minutes of talking to them. Unfortunately, I am engaged to my wonderful fiancé, and it doesn't seem like we're going to break up anytime soon. Although, if we do, I am ready to leverage that as my PTC. My question is, how much would I have to pay you for you to do not an aura reading, but a Gora reading for me to tell me what archetype I would be on The Bachelor? I am dying to know, and I think other people would pay for this service as well. Please tell me what needs to happen so that you will do this. Also, a quick suggestion, please name the closed-legged hooju after Madison Pruitt and call it a Pruju. Okay, that's it. I love you both. Goodbye. Happy holidays.
Let's take this backwards.
Another comment.
The Pruju. Didn't we call it that? The Madison Pruitt dead-legged hooju?
I don't know. I think we called it like a virgin's hooju or something.
It's also known as, virgin hooju, a Christian hooju. It had many names, but I think we did call it the Pruju. When it was happening. Maybe I'm wrong. But the question here in this was, what would it cost me to do a Gora reading on someone, which I'm guessing here or picking up that it's, I would go on a Zoom with somebody for 10 to 15 minutes and tell them what archetype I think producers would make.
I think you should just do it from this clip.
Yeah, I'm going to go with professional.
That's what I was going to say.
I think this is a professional. You can tell there's a very precise manner of speaking that usually accompanies a professional archetype.
Maybe a teacher.
That's what I'm thinking as well. Some kind of administrative lifestyle. I'm not sure, but mm-hmm. I could be completely wrong. You know, it's hard to do just from the voice. You need to get mannerisms and stuff like that too. You need to get the micro expressions. You need to really see what the producers are seeing when they do these first Zoom casting calls with people.
Yeah. For all we know, this woman is dressed in head to toe Louis Vuitton. Lifestyle.
Exactly. You never know. Or could be dressed in a kind of Stevie Nicks flowing scarves and long pants type thing that are tie-dyed. Maybe she's a free spirit. We don't really know.
She's sitting next to a crystal ball.
She's reading fortunes as we speak. We don't know. We don't know. But how much would it cost for me to give a Agora reading? $25,000. So if there's any takers, let me know. My Zoom lines will be open. $25,000 will get you 15-minute Zoom with me.
It's a little more than the DLH cameo.
A little more, just a little. No, I think it would actually be kind of fun to do that. You know, unfortunately, I don't know if I got that time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Those might stack up. And I don't think that I would be able to accommodate everyone. And then I'd feel very bad about it.
I won't be surprised if there's a comment in here. Pace case. Do more palapas. And guess what? I'm doing as many as I can. Clues is a machine. Same.
we're both very busy, obviously. But I don't know. I'll take the Agora reading under consideration. If I start getting a bunch of DMs of people wanting to do it, maybe I'll hold a Agora reading session day or something like this. I just don't know when it would be. Literally every hour of every day is accounted for at this point with work things for me.
Yes.
I could try to figure it out, though, because I am interested just to see.
And for me, Sister Wives.
Oh, right. Yep. Sister Wives. Speaking of, I watched 90 Day last night. The final of a three-part. This season ended with a three-part reunion.
Wow.
That took place over 3 hour and a half episodes, and it was worth it. God, it was good. Anyways, I'm really thinking about this Agora thing now. I think it could be good for me in terms of just keeping my talents sharp, you know?
Will you go through their Instagrams in this?
No, I would just look at them. I would have a 10-minute, 15-minute conversation with them. I would ask them my standard intake questions, which are all the same kind of questions that producers would ask you if you're going into the show. Where are you from? What is your family like? Are your parents still together? Where do they live? What's your romantic history like? Do you got any skeletons? Did you play any sports in high school? These are the standard questions.
Got any skellies?
Yeah. That question is usually funny when I'm...
Age, school,
yeah.
Skellies?
That is exactly how I do it. Age, school, skellies? Some people do have some skellies. Some people have some interesting skellies, I gotta say. And those are the fun ones.
We haven't had a good skelly in a long time.
Because people scrub. You're not going to get skellies anymore. If you get a skelly, it's either going to be a player who has planted a specific skelly to do something specific with.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I would do.
But then it requires like actors and stuff. Look, I've gone down this path with people I've coached. I'm like, okay, that could be a skelly. Maybe you could use that skelly.
Or just an ex who's your friend.
Yes, that's the exact path I've gone down. And it doesn't work out because the ex is always like, I'm not going to go on TV and like pretend. The ex has nothing to get out of it.
Because it's a man.
Yeah, basically. And then you go on and you look like some, you know, bitter asshole who's like, why'd you go on this show? I still love you. Like Becca Kufrin's ex didn't come off looking very well, in my opinion, in Ari Leyendijk's season when he showed up the morning after the fantasy suite. I don't know if it was worth it.
I think there's a way to do it where you make the skelly your like emotional hurdle you have to overcome. You say, I had this on again, off again relationship. I just need to get closure. The person comes on, they do a whole song and dance. You go, well, I think maybe at a different time this would have worked, but I have found my person. And it's Joey, the Gaysman.
It's Joey Grazia. Skelly is as Skelly does. Let's move on to our third question. Are you ready, Pace Case?
Hi, Game of Roses. This is Sarah from San Diego. And my question is, if you could hire a male player and a female player to help you coach other players, which two people would you select and why? Thanks so much.
That wasn't quite immediate, but okay.
Immediate for me, Clues.
Yeah. Who's your male player?
Nick Fayal.
Yes, same. I would also take under advisement Blake Horstman and Jason Tardik. I believe that those three people to me, Vial encapsulates the greatest player of all time. He can tell you how to...
In a way, kind of.
In every way.
he can tell you how to cut down the second audience.
Not in most group date roses. Not in lowest RQ.
Really not in most group date roses? We'd have to go back and look at that number. Not in best RQ. You're right. He doesn't have that stat, but I believe he does have the most group date roses.
So many stats. Anyway.
He definitely has the most kisses, most screen time, most total roses.
My female player, I think, would be Hannah Brown.
She is mine as well. I would also take under advisement Caitlin Bristow. I would also take under advisement Rachel Lindsay. I would also take, I mean, there's a lot of women players because in my opinion, there are different players that represent like standout performances in certain aspects of the game and the post game. And so it would depend on what a player would want to get out of this. But if you're really looking at like building a roster of players who could help coach incoming players to be like, this is what you need to do in any given game situation. And then this is how you turn your time in game into a business after it. There's a bunch of different players who have those elements, like Tardik.
Hannah Godwin
is a great influencer. She was also a very good player, but her time in game wasn't like, she had a rookie season and a paradise season. She was constantly in talks to be Bachelorette after season 23, but never quite rose to the crown. So I think she's like limited in what she would know in terms of how do you be a lead.
But the influencing is part of the game, as we all agree.
Absolutely. And that's another thing that I think Hannah Brown would be good at.
Hitting 2 million Instagram followers. That's a huge thing for a GOAT.
Yeah. Any of the 2 million club, you're looking at Popeye, you're looking at Hannah Brown, you're looking at
Jojo.
But also some of those players like Jojo and stuff, they're so old school. Like if you ask Jojo, what do you do on Paradise? Any of her advice would be meaningless in the current state of Paradise. Anybody from any of those eras would be, you know.
Unless she said, go on Love is Blind.
Yeah, that's her advice is like, don't do The Bachelor. But yeah. I think on the guy side.
Go on The Biggest D. What was her show called?
The Big D. I think it's called Big D. The one that her and her husband hosted. But I think that you're looking at Vial for quite a lot of things. I think he understands the game well still. He has moments where he is like flashing back to a bygone era, which is not what the game is now. But he definitely knows how to turn time in game into a giant media empire, as does Caitlin Bristow.
How to kind of have your tendrils all out over the nation via secret voice memos.
Yeah, how to maintain relevance, shit like that. I think Tardik understands the business side of things in a way really no other player does. And I would always want him in somebody's corner if you're looking into like, how do you make money off of this thing?
Negotiations.
Yeah. I think that guy has it locked down. Obviously, Tyler Cameron, in terms of depending on if you're a certain type of player, like Tyler Cameron, I think would have good advice for like the best looking guy every season. That's basically who he can train. And that's about it, you know? He's gonna give you your diet.
He might be just someone, you know, you want on your coaching team just to be there, just to kind of stand around and help out.
I would have Vial for second audience. How do you handle the other players? How do you dominate them? How do you manipulate them? Yeah.
Because of his great second audience game, he did not have a good second audience game.
What? He dominated. I'll never forget.
More than Kufrin?
That shot in his rookie season when the Andy Dorfman is on a one-on-one date. I forget who the guy is, but the one-on-one date is they're rappelling down the side of a building and all the other guys are in that building and they have to watch them come down the window. And there's the shot of all the fucking guys are pressed up against the window like, oh my God, I can't believe they're fucking on this date. We have to watch it. Vial's off in the corner.
Peeping Tom.
Vial's peeping on the peeping Toms. He's watching the other players. He's not watching Dorfman. He's watching the other players.
I know, but that's not a good second audience. He had an antagonistic relationship with the second audience.
And a dominant
oh my God,
relationship with the second audience. He dominated these men. Openly. Oh they God. Knew it was happening and couldn't stop it.
The other guy won.
Did he?
Second place.
Did he? Did Josh Murray wear the crown? Did Sean Booth wear the crown? They didn't win. Surrey. That's for all the Canadians. He dominated all of them.
I think, yes, he had an antagonistic second audience game, but it fucking worked. The man knows how to manipulate.
I'm just saying, ideally, your second audience game is you build allies and you have a team that you
can be?
Link up with parasocially. Can be.
That's one second audience game style. Yes, I agree.
I don't know if I like 8 a.m. clues. Can be.
Okay. Let's move on. Thank you for that question. Let's get to our next question. Are you ready, Pace Case? Question yes. Number four.
Hi, Pace Case. Hi, Bachelor Clues. This is Haley from the Bay Area. I have a question for you. I have a neighbor who is perfect for Golden. She is widowed. She's gorgeous. She just turned 70. She's fun. She's funny. She's completely for TRR. And I'm been noodling this over for like several years, ever since we saw those initial casting cards for Golden. I didn't initially submit her because I was worried that they would get the same edit as, you know, in the main game where she could be just, her life could basically be ruined by the fame, and not in a good way. But once I saw that the Golden players were treated like absolute queens, I thought maybe I should encourage her to apply. But my question for you is it going to, do you think that the Golden franchise is going to continue on in such a 4TRR way where they're treating their cast members like queens that they are? Or is it going to take its turn and they're treated like main game players, in which case I really don't want to submit my lovely neighbor to that sort of torture?
Great question, Haley.
Absolutely.
And something that I am wondering every day. I think if I had a beloved grandmother, for instance, would I, my grandparents are passed, would I want them to do this, to go through this? And I'm like, I don't know. They protected the first season. Mm-hmm. It doesn't guarantee they're going to protect the second season.
Yeah, I think probably what is going to happen is you are going to see an exact replication of the beginning of our beloved game. Seasons 1, 2, and 3 are going to be cookie cutter exactly the same because these ratings were huge. Mm-hmm. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And if it's real good, if it's beyond ain't broke, don't fucking change it at all. That's what you're going to see. Then Season 4, submit your neighbor right now. Get them in season 1, 2, or 3. Season 4 of these shows is going to become the experimental era. That's where you're going to see them start to muck around with it a little bit, throw in a couple of things, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and they're going to start taking massive liberties with it in the experimental era, just like they did with the original game. And then I don't know what's going to happen. None of us do. They don't yet, you know? They literally going to try things out to be like, we need to spice it up. The ratings are dipping. And then you have no idea. So like celebrities are going to come in. Are they going to have celebrity Goldens?
They should if they coming can. In?
Remember, like they tried to do that in the original. You remember, fuck, I mean, Jerry O'Connell. Jesse Palmer himself was that. He was the fifth Bachelor. And Jesse Palmer was meant to be a celebrity Bachelor. He was an active roster. Charlie O'Connell. Sorry, Jerry's his brother. Jerry's the famous one. But Charlie O'Connell was in some stuff too as an actor around that time. But his brother was like on Sliders at the time. He was on a network TV show, the star of it. And that was season 7. But DLP originally.
So we could see a Nepo baby sibling.
Yeah, I think we could see something like that. And, you know, yes, we're going to see a villain. We're going to see a real villain that is not protected by the show, that is presented as a terrible person. That's coming. Probably this year, I would guess. And also, it has to do...
I guarantee it.
I'm not guaranteeing anything. But it also has to do with how the producers, how the players coming in view the game. Because the longer the game is on TV, the more people are aware of that when they apply. This first season of Golden really was like, there was nothing on TV for you to compare it to. The first players didn't know what it was going to be like. So they're more apt to be 4TRR. Anybody going into Golden now has seen that first season. They understand how, oh shit, some of these people got 100,000 Instagram followers. And I'm not saying that's their primary motivation, but it is a part of them going in. They understand this. They understand these people became celebrities for a little minute. And that is a part now, whether you are
against that component of it, or you're doing it because of it, or anywhere in between, that 4TWR-ness of it is seeping into the player base even as we speak with the next round of people cast. And this is true of every reality show. I will never forget on, I used to watch a show called Breaking Amish. God damn, it was a pleasure. And it was on, I believe, TLC, and it was about a bunch of these Amish kids who in the first season go to New York City to see, do they still want to be Amish? Do they like the, as they call it, English lifestyle? And one of them becomes a model and all this stuff. And none of them understood really what reality TV was even. Then by season two, you have people who completely understand, coming from the Amish community, they're going on the show to become celebrities, butted right into people who didn't understand still that everything's being videotaped. And so one of the players got caught in a massive lie, which had criminal repercussions. And the producers were like, we have it on tape. You can't lie about this. And that became a part of season two. I think that the players are going to start to become more savvy, which will make it harder for the producers to do their jobs, which ultimately is what spurs the experimental era of Golden Bachelor, which I think is going to be in the next couple of years.
I think there's something else that could spur the experimental era, which is, are any of those competing senior dating shows going to come out?
That too. Yeah.
Have they canned them all?
Absolutely. Canned them. No way.
Or are they going to come out with some twist that causes Golden Bachelor to have to modify the game?
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, look for that over the course of the next couple of years. You're just going to see a tidal wave of older people reality dating programs as well. I think, like, if Love is Blind is smart, there's a Golden Love is Blind. Any format that works, just put old people in it and it will also work. That is what Bachelor has proven.
I bet Golden Love is Blind is in the works.
Yeah. Love is really blind.
I can't wait.
Love has glaucoma. Okay. Let's move on.
Love is...
Love is legally blind. Love can no longer drive. Love has had its driver's license revoked.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, let's move on.
Love has had its driver's license revoked. I mean, they should really do that. I know. That's a good one.
Okay.
These California freeways.
Let's move on to our next question. Here we go.
Hey, Pace Case and Bachelor Clues. My name is Lindsay, and I've been listening since our cursed year of 2020. And you guys have been my parasocial pals ever since. Bachelor obviously holds a special place in my heart, but I'm now also in the pit of special forces, world's sassiest soldier, world's most beautiful man contest, the show of many names. My question for you is twofold. Firstly, which other Bachelor players do you think would dominate in future seasons of the show? I personally think the Ultimate Viking and Susie Evans have the right combo of physical prowess and mental toughness. My other question is, how far do you predict the two of you would make it on the show? Can't wait for the Parasocial Play of the Year awards. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
You got a cornerista, sounds like.
Oh yeah.
Love to hear that. Thank you for taking these journeys with Bachelor Clues into Special Forces, Special Man.
I loved Special Forces. I loved it. I thought I was going to watch it and just be like, this show sucks. I'm just watching it for Viall and Cameron. I wound up loving the show.
Would you watch another season with no Bachelor person in it?
Ooh, yeah, I would. Wow. As long as there's some celebrities in there that I know who they are and have some kind of interest in. But like, yes, seeing Tyler Cameron and Nick Viall in it made it way better. And the fact that they won it made it a lot better as well. Because I was in it till the end.
Ultimate Viking.
Yeah.
Matt James.
Yep. You know who I don't think? You know who I think is kind of built for this, seemingly, but I think would fall apart in it? Colton Underwood. He's like a jacked ex-football player, which does well in this kind of a game, but I don't think psychologically he could handle it. The game is primarily psychological.
What?
You saw what he did in fucking Bachelor. He tried to escape the show.
Yeah.
Like, all you have to do in Special Forces is say, I don't want to do this anymore, and you're out.
He did run away from the Bachelor. He did run away from the Bachelor.
I don't think Ari Leyendyke does well. I'm just kind of going back in my head through recent leads.
No.
I don't think Zach Shawcross hacks
Popeye.
It. I don't think Pilot Pete does it. Then you're getting down into like, I think Sean Lowe. Pavelka ain't doing it. I think Sean Lowe maybe could handle
this.
What? Yes. He was a standout college football player who had NFL prospects. I know he's a little bit older than the standard winners at this point, but I think he could do it because that guy has that mental fortitude that's just like, he believes God is on his side and nothing can stop him. If you believe that,
that's true.
I mean, nothing can stop you, you know?
Yeah, that is a mental toughness in its own.
I agree with you about Susie Evans. We know the Beast has already dominated this game. I'm looking at Rachel Lindsay.
Oh, Susie Evans, I think, would crush literally any other reality show. I can't believe we haven't seen her in anything else.
I think Rachel Lindsay would do well in this. I think Christina Mandrell would dominate this. I don't know if she's high enough profile from the game to ever get the invite, but I think she would absolutely dominate this game.
She's very physically fit.
I think Charity Lawson might do well in this. She has that kind of like hard-nosed attitude of like, fuck this shit, I'm going to win this. I don't see any of the 19 Bachelorettes. I don't think Gabby Windy. I don't think Rachel Recchia does well in this game. I'm not sure Katie Thurston would do well in this game.
No, and I'm not sure that I would do well in this game. I think I would last whatever the day is that they are cold. I'd be like, no, thank you.
They'd find the 5 packs of cigarettes hidden in your pants pockets like they did Tara Reid on day one.
I would exactly do however well Tara Reid did.
She made it through the first day. I think I could dominate this game because it is just psychological. You throw the switch, you say to yourself for 8 days, I'm going to go through absolute torture.
God.
And then I'm going to be done with it.
I wish we could see you do it.
And I think I'd be way better than the...
I mean, you've done more for less. You've got getting in the best shape of your life for a dudesy.
Best shape of my life was my mid-20s. I don't know if I can ever get back to that point, you know, the metabolism slows down, et cetera, et cetera. But I do feel like I'm
still peaking.
I'm about second all-time strongest. Oh, nice.
Clues. I quit bras during the pandemic. I said, no more. They're not comfortable. I'm being comfy as a lifestyle. And I couldn't picture a bra that would exist that I would want to wear. But today's sponsor, Honeylove, has revolutionized the bra game. They don't have underwire, they don't have bulky fabrics, and they are so soft. Basically feels like a second skin, which is the only type of bra I will be wearing in the year of our gore 2024. Mm-hmm. I got the crossover bra, the black runway one. It has this cute like mesh that adds peekaboo mesh that adds this very sexy touch. So it's like, doesn't look like it's, you know, a comfortable bra, but it is. And I guess I'm a bra person again, it turns out.
Well, congrats, Pace Case. I know it's a big step for you. Right now, you can treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/roses. Use that exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/roses. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support Game of Roses and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honey Love because you deserve it.
Clues, you know I'm on my year of health, 2024. I'm trying to really focus on that. You know, I've got my career in order. I've got, you know, other aspects of my life. But I eat badly and I take care of myself badly. But that is changing now. I have discovered Lumi. Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to work not only on pits, but also feet, privates, and everywhere else we get odor. I use their wipes. I use their, they have a traditional deodorant stick, too, which I use. A lovely coconut smell about it. And no matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long, all thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula. They have over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it.
It's baking soda-free, it's paraben-free, it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt, clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average person has an odor level of 6 out of 10. Did you know that?
That's
a
disgusting.
High level. With Lumi, the average odor level is, guess what? 0 out of 10.
Yes.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, 2 free products of your choice. You could get mini body wash, you can get deodorant wipes, whatever you want.
and free shipping. And as a special offer for everyone listening right now, new customers are going to get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code ROSES at LumiDeodorant.com. That's L-U-M-E deodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off the starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use that code ROSES.
Clues. A Mother's Day is coming up.
That's true.
You know, that's one of the most important holidays. We got to honor our mothers. They all went through a lot to get us here into this planet. And the gifts for Mother's Day, they can be a little predictable and boring. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. You only need one bathrobe, in my opinion. That's why Aura Frames is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage. You can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. Not only is she going to be grateful that it's not just another sweater for Mother's Day, she's also going to love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you. Or in my case, she gets to see more of my cat, Skaboolian. My mom loves seeing him rolling around, playing with his toys, doing whatever, and I can upload as many images of him as I want every day, and my mom gets to see them in her Aura frame and then text me about it for all the rest of the day. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Everybody listening to Game of Roses can save on that perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ROSES at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. All right. Well, we anticipate the peak happening in 2024. Until then.
I'm not saying 2024.
2025? 2026? When is the peak?
I'm just saying it's coming. Peak?
Okay. In the near future or far future.
I'm not past it. It's on the horizon.
Congratulations. All right. Let's move on to our next question. Here we go.
So this question's for Lizzie, but it's a little bit about aliens, so I don't think you're going to be mad about it, Chad. So my favorite show other than our beloved game is The Good Place, and my favorite character is Janet on The Good Place. And I should also say that my territory for work is Las Vegas, so I get to go there all the time, and I get to meet with businesses and locals, and they tell me fantastic stories about the secrets of Las Vegas. But by far the best is about this secret government airline called the Janet. And it's in a secret terminal in McCarran. And all it does is commute people who live in Las Vegas to Area 51 and back every day. And it stands for just another non-existent terminal. And the second I heard that, I was like, oh my God, this has to be the inspiration for Janet. Because it's so weird and secret and spooky. And it just describes Janet perfectly. She's not a girl. She's not a robot. She's just another non-existent terminal. So Lizzie, ease my mind. Is this the inspiration for Janet?
This answer might disappoint. I do not know. I don't think so. I think the character of Janet was conceived before the name, but you know what? My old boss, Mike Schur, would often put very deep, deep literary philosophical references. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was some sort of reference. But alien reference, not so much, probably.
Yeah, Good Place didn't have much to do with aliens, as I recall.
In some ways, it's not. It's, you know, it's sci-fi for sure.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anything away. Go watch The Good Place, which was 4 seasons on NBC. My first solo written episode of TV is episode 406. So you got to go through 3.5 seasons to get to the best episode. But Janet was played by Darcy Carden, who's an absolute gem and one of my favorite characters. I had a very, very good storyline for her in my episode.
And speaking of the Janet Airlines, now I'll take this opportunity to tell you about a man named Bob Lazar. Thank you.
Oh,
Bob Lazar was something of an engineering.
You may think this question is not for Bachelor Clues.
Oh, you say the word fucking aliens? It's for me. I'm going to make it for me.
There's a guy named Bob Lazar. Check him out. If you're interested in aliens at all, check out this guy, Bob Lazar. Google that name, L-A-Z-A-R. In the 80s, he was a young engineering genius. He claims he was recruited by some kind of special government force to take that flight every day from Vegas out to Area 51, where he was on a team of people that was reverse engineering technology from a crashed alien craft. And he was discredited by the U.S. government. His career was destroyed. They expunged a bunch of his collegiate records. He said he went to this school and that school, but you can't find him on any of the records. But there are paper documents that still have his name on it from those schools. And they basically destroyed this guy's life. Now, since he came out in the 80s as a whistleblower, a bunch of the shit that he's talked about has started to come true. He talked about a specific element that didn't exist on our periodic table, which was the fuel for this UFO that they were trying to reverse engineer. And everybody's like, that element doesn't exist. Fuck you. We've been able to synthesize it in labs at the atomic scale, so it does now exist. He talked about the fuselage of these alien craft having no joints, no seams whatsoever, and he didn't understand how that was possible. Now, with 3D printing of especially materials like metal, plaster, whatever.
I mean, isn't that just technology that is bound to happen at some point?
3D printing? I don't think in the 80s people were thinking about that.
Remove the joints. Remove the joints from things.
Maybe. I mean, I'm just saying he in the 80s, talked about a lot of technologies that existed on these craft that people were like, that's insane. You're making this shit up. And now we have those things. We have these technologies, or at least the rudimentary first steps of them.
Just like in Xenon, the Disney Channel original movie, they basically FaceTime on their arms. And I always thought that was really a cool technology. And now we can do it. And no one answers my FaceTimes anyway.
Think about Star Trek. 1960s. Those motherfuckers had cell phones.
That's cool. I didn't watch it.
Predicted it. At any rate, check out Bob Lazar if you are interested at all in aliens. Thank you for the question. The Good Place question.
I'm picturing like a Bulbasaur with glasses.
He does wear glasses.
He's like, these technologies are going to happen. Like the Bachelor clues of the 80s.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, Lazar is like a kind of lightning rod of a figure in the UFO community. Some people think that he's a total fucking crackpot, but as more and more of these things that he was talking about in the 80s, as they start to like happen in our own material science world, people are like, huh, maybe he was telling the truth. At any rate.
I bet there's a lot of inner division in the alien communities.
There is, but this year, 2024, is going to have a bunch of big key moments of the United States government being forced to release certain documents and stuff. I think 2024 is going to be the year that we see it.
What do we have to look forward to?
There's a hearing happening, I believe, in early January with that guy, David Grush, who was the whistleblower that said we have non-human biologics, and he supposedly is going to release more stuff. I believe it was the House just overturned a part of a spending bill that was going to force all government agencies to release their UFO shit. So that's going to be a contentious thing in 2024. Mm-hmm. They're going to get that reversed, hopefully. We'll see. We'll see. At any rate, this is not an alien podcast. Let's continue with our next question. Thank you.
It's Pitmas, you know, you got to indulge.
Yeah. Speaking of indulging, here's our next question.
Hi, Pace Case and Bachelor Clues. I'm not going to tell you my name in the event that the person I'm talking about is a member of the Pit, which is very much a possibility. But a member of Bachelor Nation has publicly announced that they are moving to the city that I live in, which is a decent-sized city, but not large enough that it has a large Bachelor contingency or a team name. So I'm hoping not too many people are sliding into his DMs, because I would like to slide into his DMs and either ask him out or just start a conversation and see if it leads in that direction. And I'm wondering if you have any tips to help me stand out. Thank you.
How to slide into a Bachelor person's DMs. What a great question.
Yeah, this is a tough one. Especially tough because I don't know who the person is. If I knew who the person was, I could give you an exact foolproof scheme.
But you know they're in a small city. I feel like that says something.
Yeah. No. I mean, look. It just depends on who they are, honestly.
I would say you're applying for the show.
Yes, I would as well. I would say, yeah, that's what I was going to say as well. You need to link yourself to The Bachelor and make yourself more than just a fan reaching out. There has to be like some purpose. And not only do you reach out and say, I'm thinking of applying for the show, You have to mention, I saw you on season blank. I loved what you did on this group date, on this one-on-one, whatever. Mention some specific thing and then have a question about that specific thing.
Oh, yeah. So you know they're not sending like a cover letter to all Bachelor people.
Yes, exactly. And you also say like, and I am thinking about applying for the show. I saw what you did in this thing and it just got me to thinking about like, you know, what is the possibility in the show? What am I really looking at if I get into this? You might even want to lie a little bit and say, not that you're thinking of applying, that you already have applied and you're making it into like, you're going to have your third Zoom meeting with casting producers and you just had some questions. Would he be open to maybe going out for a drink?
I would just enter casting so that it feels on the up and up.
And having a conversation. But don't start asking him questions in the DM. You, with this same message, in the message, you say, hey, I loved you on this season. I'm in the deep casting process or think about applying, however you want to put that. I would love to take you out for a drink and ask a few questions if you wouldn't mind.
Solid.
You set the date up in that first DM. This is my advice to you. I wish I knew who this player was. I could literally tell you word for word what to say if I knew who the player was.
There's so many Bachelor relationships that have started this way between players.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fascinating. A fascinating piece of our society to study the DMs.
But you need to differentiate yourself.
As a I was in a hinge relationship, which I consider kind of the same as DMs.
Hinge?
But,
It's a dating app, though. You specifically go on there to date. I guess that's...
Well, you think Instagram
that's
is.
The entire internet, I guess. But you definitely need to separate yourself from just a fan of the show.
Fire emojis, remember them?
Hell yeah. I'll never forget fire emojis. Poor Avon. If you ever get a fire emoji, is it Avon? Is that who you're going for? Watch out for the fire emoji. If you are going to do this, though, you do need to establish yourself as somebody who is not just a fan of the show, that you look at it as like, this is a career opportunity, a business opportunity, whatever. And again, it's very important that you say, I am going into the show in some capacity. And so I need your kind of professional advice. Can I take you out for a drink or dinner and ask you some questions?
What if someone didn't want to lie? What would we say?
You shouldn't go into The Bachelor.
Well, they're not going into The Bachelor. They're just trying to date this person.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm like, you should do both. You should actually also apply.
Okay, you're a journalist. You say you want to write an article.
That's a lie, too. What are you talking about? You're like, what if they don't want to lie about this? What other lie could they tell?
But you could be a journalist. I'll come up with one for every profession.
No, if you don't want to lie, then you're kind of stuck. And this is like an innocent lie. It's an innocuous lie. And it's one that you can get out of later. You could always just say like, yeah, they dropped me. Like I didn't get on the show. Oh, well, that's it. And then if you get involved in a relationship with this person multiple years down the road, you can say, I made that whole thing up, but now we're madly in love. And isn't that funny? And aren't I cute? And it all work out.
Yeah. 1 to 2 children in.
Yeah, exactly. On the day of giving birth to your second child, you reveal that this was all a long game strategy.
Anyway, does that answer your question?
All right, let's move on to our next question. Let's see if we can give some more sage advice. Here we go.
I hope it's a comment.
Hello, Pace Case and Bachelor Clues. I am a college history professor. I teach American history. And my question for you all is, how can I include the Bachelor franchise in a class on modern American history? I currently end 2 classes with a unit on HGTV and the 2008 housing crash. And I think we can make a similar unit happen using our beloved game. But what would the significance to broader American history be? What would the kind of theme of the unit be? Would it be the influencer economy? Would it be gender and pop culture in the 21st century? Or would it be something about like 9/11 and the search for normalcy in abnormal times? Help me make this unit happen.
I think you absolutely do the 9/11 one.
Yeah. Post 9/11 America is a very interesting time, especially with the rise of reality TV. I would also, though, before we even get into the details of this question, there is a class at DePaul taught by Dr. Adrian Stoner, which Pace Case and I have lectured in or guested in called The Bachelor. So I would look up that class at DePaul. There's an entire semester-long class just about The Bachelor, where they have different guests come in and speak, and they talk about the significance of our beloved game in American pop culture and how it's helping to shape essentially everything that has happened on television in the last 20 years or whatever.
I kind of say you do it in the like 45 era too, as like...
For sure. The first reality TV show president. I mean, that to me is kind of where The Bachelor fits in front and center into all of this. The Bachelor is...
Because I think Reagan was for like scripted actors, you know, it's like...
Yeah, he was just a straight actor. And of course, we've had Schwarzenegger as the governor of California, Jesse Ventura as the governor of Minnesota, who was a pro wrestler turned actor, et cetera, et cetera. There are a bunch of like entertainment people who have matriculated into various positions of political power. But as you say, 45 was our first reality show president. And so when you're looking at, and I mean, you know, on Game of Roses, we've talked a lot about what we believe is Dark Lord Harrison's, or maybe what I believe is Dark Lord Harrison's desire to enter Texas state politics, which I think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's one angle of it for sure.
No, he's discovered podcasting, the best job. He's not going to do another job.
we'll see. I think he's still got a political future. But I think you can come at it from that direction. I think you can also talk about how The Bachelor really has exemplified this, the attrition game, which is also Survivor, American Idol. There's a bunch that are like it, but to apply it to dating really turns the gamification of dating into a brand new thing. And I think that it has, in my opinion anyway, drastically affected all the dating apps and how people even approach dating. The idea that you can date multiple people and kind of compare them against each other and say, well, I like this one the best. They'll move on to whatever the next round of my internal dating strategy might be.
That's what I was going to say, like open relationships and queer relationships and how that kind of intersects with it, I think would be really interesting too. Like, because The Bachelor is just, has just been so behind the culture. And like, how does that the fact that that's still so popular, how does that reflect back on the society at large?
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver five times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back. No questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
charge.
And there's also something to be said for what is kind of this. We are right now experiencing the birth of a new era in reality TV, which is all of these secondary shows that are now coming out. House of Villains, Traitors, World's Sassiest, Perfect Match, I'd even throw in there. These are shows that are like matriculation shows. You can't enter any of these shows unless you come from another one of the big feeder shows, Bachelor, Survivor, Vanderpump, whatever. So you now have an entire tier of other shows that are completely populated by players from our beloved game and these other shows. Eventually, you're going to see a third tier, a fourth tier, a fifth tier. You're going to see a pyramid of these shows. That means if you get cast in one of the initial shows, one of the rookie season kind of shows, you can have a whole fucking life of appearances in these other reality shows.
Squid Game.
I don't know if Squid Game would take ex-reality stars. They probably will in like season 4 or 5. They'll do like celebrity Squid Game challenge. That's coming. Mm. 456 minor celebrities are competing in who can spit the most spit into a tin can and then dig it out with their fingers.
What season do you think they do all-star Squid Games?
Well, but I mean, the thing is with Squid Games,
7.
Part of it is that it starts out with 456 people. You know, that's like part mm-hmm. of the mechanics of the game. If you did a celebrity Squid Game, would it start with like 16 celebrities?
16 celebrities and 430 civilians.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's like the celebrities are going to be given preferential treatment. I don't know that it lends itself to that, honestly. They would have to really like reconfigure the game.
Interesting. I was just thinking that like you have all-stars who are in it, who are coming back for a second tour, and they can just be part of it. And of course, they're going to focus on it narratively.
Right. But then like, what if that person gets knocked out in the first game? In quotes, you know, they don't get knocked out in the first game, obviously. And then you get even like, I think already people are like, they're just playing favorites. This is all rigged. I think if you did something like that, it would be even worse.
You have to knock a celebrity out in the first round. Tara Reid or Pace Case.
The sacrificial lamb. Yeah. But yeah, we hope that you get this up and running. That would be very cool. And we hope that what we've discussed here helps you. Let's move on to our next question.
Welcome to my audio question. This is Claire and your Pace Case and Bachelor Clues. Or should I say, Lizzie and Chad? My question is burning. This question has been my perpetual minutia alarm while listening to the podcast for months now. Here's my question. How easy is it for you both to code switch for when you refer to each other, either using Gore monikers or street names? A while ago, I listened to you both on another podcast and heard some slipping, calling each other Pace Case, Bachelor Clues, before switching to your civilian names. This made me think, are these two such Howie Mandel approved geniuses that they've never used the wrong name when speaking about the other to friends, family, beloved pets? I've thought about this too much over the past few months. Please release me from my agony over this information. Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
I love the minutia question. This is excellent.
Yeah, this one's deep in the weeds. This is something I've literally never thought about. For me, it's kind of interchangeable.
I do it almost constantly. I am mixing them up. And it's mostly like I'll call you Clues in something where they're like, what?
Yeah. I definitely have been talking to like, you know, other people like, oh yeah, I do this podcast with my friend Pace Case. Like I'll say Pace Case to people who have no idea who you are. And they're just like, what? This person's name is Pace Case. That's well, her name's so Lizzie Pace, but that's like her Instagram handle. And then I have to go down the whole road of like Instagram handles and why we do that and blah, 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 blah.
The Instagram handle thing is pretty funny that it's lasted this long.
I know. Even as the Instagram influence in our beloved game is dying.
It's become an identity.
Yeah. It'll always be my identity. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's like Banksy to me, who I heard did reveal his true identity.
I always say you're the Bachelor Nation's Banksy.
Oh, thank you very much.
Except we know who you are.
But yeah, in terms of switching back and forth, like what is it in my brain that makes me say Lizzie or Pace Case? I don't even know.
Lizzie sounds so weird.
Yeah. It doesn't sound that weird to me, but it's I just don't. It's just another name for the same person to me. They literally like your name, Lizzie or Pace Case, It's interchangeable. I don't know what throws that switch in my brain. It's an interesting question, one that I've never thought about, and I have no good answer for. My apologies. How about you?
No, my answer is I almost confuse them constantly.
Yeah. Well, we hope that's answered your question. Thank you for it. I believe we have one more. Are you ready, Pace Case, for the final question of this first grab bag episode?
Let's go.
Here we go.
Hi, Gore team. My name is Sarah. I'm a mom from Maine. From the bottom of the pit, thank you for being such a great support for all of our collective sanity in the last several years. My question is for Bachelor Clues. With AI technology altering every aspect of our lives for now and forever, could you describe your predictions of what it may look like to become an influencer in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? Praise be our beloved game.
Thank you for this final AI question. It's my pleasure to tell you exactly what's going to happen with influencers. You're already seeing it.
Okay, already Bulbasaur. Seeing it.
This has already been happening for a while. Lil Michaela was the first artificial influencer. She has a couple million or 1.something million followers on Instagram, but it's not a real person. And you're seeing more and more of that. I read a big article the other day about a bunch of people are using AI to create women that don't exist to start OnlyFans accounts. And they're not even like
smart
pornographic or fully nude. It's just like women in bikinis, but they can render the same fake character again and again and again in different shots. And then they just open an OnlyFans account. And it's like free money, basically, because you can generate these images for no cost infinitely. I think what you're going to see is there will be two kinds of influencers.
Shop local.
Shop local. What? What? I don't understand that one. That's a Pace Case special right there. Shop local. Huh? What? I think what you're going to see is kind of two sets of influencers. I think there's going to be a strong backlash against AI-generated images and influencers. And I think because of that, you're going to see a lot of people pivoting toward doing like real content where it's like, yeah, makeup tutorials are cool and all that. And making yourself look as good as you can with filters is great, but you're never going to be able to compete with what an AI can do in that territory. So I think you'll probably see the opposite. People who are like super genuine, super real, doing shit in that kind of category, you know, then you're going to see massive AI influencers come out of this. You're going to see probably an AI influencer become like critical mass famous. We're talking like shows up at the Super Bowl and shit like that. I think that's coming in the next 5 years or so.
Within 5 years.
Within 5 years.
You think an AI character will play at the Super Bowl?
Or something like that. You're going to see like a sitcom, like a giant sitcom or giant TV show or movie that's going to have a character in it, a main character that is not real, that is not played by a human person, that is scripted by an AI, completely created by an AI. That's definitely coming. And I think that's within the next 5 years, just based on the last year of AI text to image, text to video development, how quickly it's moving. I think you're going to see like anybody who works in special effects, I'm not saying they're out of a job, but a lot of them will be, because you're going to get to a point where you can just take a piece of video, draw a lasso around an area in it, type in what you want to be there, and it will be there and it will be photorealistic. That's a year away, maybe 2 years away. So I think once you get to that level of image and video manipulation, when you're looking at influencing
SFX, catching strays.
Anybody really who works in any kind of like computer to image industry, like, you better learn how to use AI or definitely you'll be replaced. But I think we're going to get to a point very quickly where, especially in influencing, which is all video and image, that's all influencing is. You're posting images of yourself and videos of yourself. All of that is going to be able to be generated with AI, with people that don't exist. And you're going to see someone who generates the right combination of whatever it needs to be to make a Kim Kardashian or something. You're going to see someone that popular that is not real coming out within the next 5 years for sure. 100%.
What about like live stream? Like people who are already famous, you just see like they have drones following them constantly. So you just like have them open.
That's coming. There's also, this is a little bit of a longer prediction, but you will see a thing called dream streamers. That's going to happen, where you go to sleep at night, you put on a little skull cap that has electrodes on it, and it turns your dreams into videos. That's coming, I'd say, within the next 2 or 3 years. The rudimentary technology for that already exists, where they have the skull cap and they can put it on your head, and whatever you're thinking, it will generate an image of that. And it's like really accurate.
What?
I think that technology is going to be a real hot button issue, because police are going to start using it when they're interrogating people. And then it's like, is that a privacy violation? So on and so forth. So there will be like some interesting laws that come up around that technology. But it's also going to be what's used to be able to talk to your pets and all this kind of stuff. It essentially is like a form of telepathy. The building block, the first part of that technology exists now. And so I think within the next couple of years,
But it's only in a pig?
No, they've done it on humans. Like the famous one is they held up a picture of a giraffe to a guy while he's wearing the little helmet. And he looks at the picture of the giraffe, and then it takes the signals from his brain and creates whatever image he's thinking of, and it makes a picture of a giraffe. And you're like, okay, that's real. And that works very well. Holy shit. So that's another part of influencing. I think there's going to be, because of AI, there are going to be kind of new media generation technologies like dream streaming that we're not even aware of yet. So the entire, not just influencers, but like movies, TV, all media is going to drastically change because of AI. You're going to see shows and movies that AI just makes for fun, and it's out and you can watch it, and who knows what's going to be in that. But definitely in terms of influencing, you are going to see some kind of influencer that is made that is not human, that is going to be extremely famous. And what you're talking about with live streaming too, it'll get to a point where AIs can have real-time conversations with you. And I mean, it already kind of is there. Like you can turn on a ChatGPT function where you can speak to it in language and it will speak back to you in a voice. We're going to get to a point where those voices can be honed into very specific, very interesting sounding people. They will come with an image of what that person is, and you can just have endless conversations with them. We all will be able to simultaneously, just like in that movie, Her. This is all coming within the next year or two, I'd say. I mean, some of it's already here. Some of it already is here. So that's it. Thank you for your question. Thank you for all these questions. These have been great questions. We're going to have another.
Sweet dream streams, everyone.
I'm going to be a fucking dream streamer. You kidding me? I can't wait. As soon as that technology is available, get ready.
Oh my God. I don't want to see Clue's dreams.
Welcome to Clue's dream stream. You know what my dreams are?
Squirrelius.
Every once in a while, I got a bachelor dream. And I have had a few dreams about Squirrelius. But my recurring dreams, my recurring dreams are getting chased by police and fighting aliens. I have those all the time.
God.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
I think that would be a cool upgrade for Gore. We can just upload our dream screams directly into the podcast.
Yeah, we'll be able to. And I look forward to doing it. But thank you, everyone, for sending in these questions. We hope you have enjoyed our answers. We're going to have another one of these episodes coming up next week. So we hope you'll tune in for that as well. As we're headed into the holidays, we hope everybody out there is having a great time with their friends, family, loved ones, whatever you choose to do.
Happy holidays. Stay safe out there. Keep dreaming. Dreams away. Don't worry about your dreams being recorded.
Only if you record them. Well, no, I'm sure Meta will be like stealing your dream data too, but whatever. Anyways, before we go, as always, what is that dwab at?
There's been 7,940 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then